I'd like to call this meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission to order. And would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Brown?
Here.
Commissioner Moultari?
Here.
Commissioner Hawkins?
Here.
Commissioner Harrison?
Present.
Please let the record indicate Chairman Campbell is absent.
Now, if you would all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now it is time for public comment on any item that's not on the agenda today, and I don't have any speaker slips at this time. So we'll go to the next item, close public hearing or public comment, and planning staff updates.
Good morning, commissioners. Karen Nall with the Planning Division. We're looking ahead to September 14th, which we have continued hearing for the cannabis ordinance on that agenda. We also have a cell site in Adelaida, a condominium, industrial condominium outside the city of SLO in the airport area. And we have a conditional use permit up in Walsona in the North County. Then moving on to September 28th, we have an agenda with which has some agricultural preserves, a parcel map, and a single family house in Los Osos. Then October 12th is a little light. We have a couple, two cell sites on that agenda as well. So that's about as far as we'll go out at this point. Any questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
The consent agenda. Does anyone have anything they'd like to, any comments or any item they'd like to pull from the consent agenda?
I just have a comment that on I asked last time that the July 13th minutes be taken off, and I just wanted to say that the staff was right, and I misremembered that particular item, so it's correct now.
Thank you. Seeing nothing else, I would look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Commissioner Hawkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Moultari?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Abstain.
And Commissioner Harrison?
Yes. And our next item is item number 5, a request by Georgia Golding and Verizon Wireless for a conditional use permit. Staff?
Good morning, staff or Planning Commission. My name is Kate Shea. I'm with County Planning Staff. And before I begin this presentation for this conditional use permit, I'd like to direct your commission to the request for continuance received from the applicant's agent, who is present here today and can speak to that request for continuance, and also recognize that there appears to be members of the public here that wish to speak on this item today. And with that said, staff recommends that we go ahead and proceed with our presentation before your commission considers the request for continuance and possibly as background, so that when you do receive public testimony today, you can have a little project description in mind.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. So this is a request by Georgia Golding and Verizon Wireless for a conditional use permit, DRC 2016-00051. And as background, the county's local authority to regulate wireless community facilities is limited by the Federal Telecommunications Act of 1996. In essence, this federal act has a preemption of local regulation on the basis of concerns over radio frequency emissions. It requires local governments to act on applications for new wireless facilities within a reasonable amount of time. Local regulation cannot result in the effective prohibition of wireless service, And furthermore, the Act requires that any permit denial be in writing and based on substantial evidence in the record. Any questions on that, I would defer to the end of the presentation, and our county council could answer any questions on that. So getting into the request, the project description includes a new construction and operation of a wireless community facility consisting of 12 8-foot tall panel antennas, 15 remote radio units, 6 surge suppression units, and associated equipment. All would be located within a 12-foot tall cylinder portion of a new 65-foot high faux elevated water tank. And this would provide for clarification as to other items today. This specifically would provide for 4G cellular service within the community of Santa Margarita. All of the new facility would be enclosed within a new lease area, 22 feet by 30 feet area, enclosed with a 6-foot wood panel fence. And within that lease area also includes, in addition to the tower, a 220 square foot equipment pad with outdoor equipment cabinets and 1 emergency backup diesel generator. So here's a vicinity map. The project is located, the project is located in an urban setting at 22417 El Camino Real on the southwest corner of El Camino Real and Margarita Avenue within the Santa Margarita's Central Business District. The property is level and surrounded by developed commercial retail lots to the north, east, and west. The Union Pacific Rail Line is located immediately south of the property. This next slide shows as well a land use category map. So again, we're in color here, and the tower location is approximately located within that blue circled area. And this slide is just to show your commission the distance from other surrounding land use categories. So as I said, the site is surrounded by developed commercial retail to the north, west, and east, industrial land use category to the south, including the rail line. And the distance to any residential land use categories, as shown here, is approximately 340 feet from the proposed location. This slide gives you an aerial of the lease area within the parcel, indicated by the red perimeter. So the parcel is currently developed as a lumber yard and storage area. There is a business on site and includes the storage buildings and accessory structures. And I'll show in a later slide, but you can kind of see here from the aerial that there are many mature trees on site. Along the eastern boundary, the site is bordered by mature eucalyptus trees, and the rest of the parcel in that southeast area and west are mature willow trees. This gives an aerial of the overall site plan. And again, the lease area is located in the essentially the rear of the property in the south, in the northeast corner of the parcel. Detail of the site plan, this shows just the lease area, so we're zoomed in to show you in green the faux water tank. This is again the 65-foot tower with the enclosed panel antennas in the 12-foot tall cylinder portion, and then the equipment pad to the south. And there would be located the equipment cabinets and the backup generator. So here is a site plan of the antenna layout itself within the faux water tank. So here we have a northwest elevation. We're essentially at the corner of El Camino Real and Margarita Avenue. So you see the existing structures on site, existing trees, and the new tank. Here we are from the northeast elevation. From the southeast elevation, so essentially on the other side of the Union Pacific Rail Line. Let's see if I had another. And we'll get into the photo simulation. So as you can see on your left is the existing facility as it exists now and the proposed simulation for the tower itself. I did want to point out here that, as you can see, the mature eucalyptus and willow tree stands in place. Construction of the project would include removal of one willow tree at the tower location itself, but all other trees would remain on site and would not be impacted by this development. We have here a photo simulation from Encina Avenue facing southwest. On the other side of the Union Pacific rail line from H Street facing northwest. And this is the photo simulation essentially as you're driving through El Camino Real facing northeast. And those silo tanks are on an adjacent parcel. So it distracts the view of the faux water tank, wouldn't necessarily be visible from this particular location. So the existing coverage map, the applicant provided a necessity case that states the project's primary objective, which is to establish a local site to serve the community of Santa Margarita. The community is currently served by the Cuesta Grade facility at Tassajara Creek Road, approximately 3.5 miles southwest of town, which was designed for outdated analog voice service. And as the applicant has provided in their necessity case, has stated that that is not a suitable site to co-locate a 4G data coverage facility. The applicant looks at other sites as well, and as detailed in the staff report, has deemed that those other co-location sites would also be infeasible. So this existing coverage map shows marginal areas within the community. Yellow is marginal, red can be viewed as poor. And with the proposed coverage map, in the necessity case shows improved service in the area surrounding the site, as the majority of the area is now in green. So I wanted to show this slide. This slide includes two photo simulations, as also detailed in the staff report.
Did you have a slide showing the coverage after?
I do. I'm sorry. I didn't spend much time on that. So this is the proposed coverage after.
Oh, and so what? Okay, do you have one before?
Here. Here's the existing.
And then after? Okay, thank you.
Sure. All right, so this photo simulation essentially represents the history of the application for this project. When the application was first provided to staff, the agent originally proposed the monopine on your left, and upon review of the application and consultation with the applicant on site, county staff and the applicant agreed that the monopine design may not be the best way to camouflage the 8-foot-tall panels all placed at one location rather than staggered along the tower itself, and the fact that no native pine trees are at this location. So the applicant subsequently prepared the additional option for the currently proposed faux water tank. The applicant presented both the monopine design option and the faux water tank option to the Santa Margarita Area Advisory Council at their March 1st regular meeting. And the Advisory Council discussed both options and agreed the faux water tank design was preferred instead of the monopine option and voted to support the proposed project. The Santa Margarita Advisory Council also provided staff with additional correspondence on April 27th, including particular detail that they reviewed after they approved the proposed project as far as the faux water tank design. They clarified that the community was not interested in any wording on the tower, such as Welcome Santa Margarita, for example. They were concerned with the overall height of the project. They stated that color is important and that it should be conditioned to blend in with surroundings. And the community is not interested in other utilities to be mounted to the legs of the tower later on that essentially would be visible and create a different aesthetic, and that all incidental future additives should be contained within the water tower itself. So with those comments from the advisory council, the applicant did provide this simulation, per se, of the site plan that would show the potential future co-location feasibility for the site. So in essence, this is not proposed today, but in the event of a future provider wishing to co-locate for this site, the tank itself could be extended 10 feet down on the existing tower to allow for future co-location. After staff prepared their report for your commission, we did receive public comments from one neighboring property owner. And I'll just touch briefly on some of the points raised, including construction noise, health effects from radio frequency emissions, tree removal, the role of the County Service Area 23, consistency with guidelines, tower height, a west side town alternative, and the radio frequency report itself. Staff can be prepared to respond to those, but I would like to essentially finish this presentation and recommend that we discuss the possible continuation of this project at the request of the applicant and hear public comment.
Okay. We should open it for public comment at this time. I have some requests for public comment, unless the board has comments on this.
Mr. Chair, you may want to start with the applicant.
I thought about that, and then I thought maybe afterwards. Let's have the applicant make a presentation if you would choose to.
Commissioners, Chairman, staff, thank you. My name is Ben Hackstead. I'm with Sequoia Deployment Services, and I'm representing Verizon Wireless today on this project. The reason we are requesting a continuance is because of the staff has received correspondence just in the last few days leading up into this hearing. Right as she was communicating that to me, it was communicated to myself as well that my radio frequency engineer with Verizon Wireless would be unable to attend. He did make a point to me that he was very sorry he couldn't attend, and he requested that, if at all possible, that we could get a continuance because he felt that his testimony was necessary in this case. Also, given some of the correspondence that staff has had from the community, we also wanted to request that Hemet and Edison, the engineering firm that did all the testing for the EME and RF study, be present as well. They wouldn't have been able to make it in the small time frame. They will be able to attend and speak to their reports if we are continued to a specific date. Some of the community refuted some of their findings, and we feel that it would be necessary for them to be able to speak to them and answer any questions that you may have. And so that is why we're asking for the continuance today. Thank you.
Thank you. So let's go to public comment on this project. And the first public comment request is Ruth Donati.
Can you hear me? Oh, it's on. Is it on?
Yep.
Okay, it's on. Well, I didn't plan on being first. Okay. I've lived in the area for 40 years. Donati is probably a well-known name, maybe not to all of you, but to some. I'm here with Jake, and he's very well qualified. I don't understand all the technical stuff, but I do believe that in the pictures brought up, she neglected to say that there is a home next door to that, well within the 300 feet. People I know actually live there. So I just, it's not ugly. I don't want to say that. I'm not saying that it wouldn't help, but I think that there are other areas outside of town. We are, as a small community, trying to develop and beautify our area. So I just don't think that that would be a good place for it to be. And we don't know what the effects of all that radiation or stuff could be on the thing. Now I'm all frustrated. Okay, and then I have one final question. Would you like this to be built next to your home or in close proximity to your home? So I'm not saying that it's ugly or that it hasn't been planned for, but I don't think enough of us really knew about it. And by the way, I know Mrs. Golding too. She's a sweetheart. Okay, thank you.
Our next speaker is Sue Locke.
Good morning. I just had a couple points. We've been in Santa Margarita since 1986, and we just learned about this project a couple days ago, and a couple things that I'm concerned about is health issues. I've heard that there could be radio waves, etc. So I would like to find out more about this, and I also believe that because we didn't know about it until a couple days ago, that there's probably a whole bunch of people in town that still don't know about it. So they might, besides the people that go to the SMAC meetings, there might be people that want to, you know, find out about it and at least get some history and have a voice in it. Concerned about the health issues, the bee population, I understand, I've read a little bit that it could be affecting the bee population, and they're very sensitive to things like this. Let's see. There have been a few people that have stated that, that I've talked to within the last couple days, that they do think a better place for it would be closer to the 101 on a hill type setting. And just to let you know, we have another property in Northern California, and there's a tower on Mount Bouillon, and we have great Verizon connection there because we actually use Verizon for our cell phones. So we're not against Verizon. We're not against the people trying to make some money in town. But if it affects the population as a whole, that is a concern, just like the gravel pits that wanted to come. They wanted to bring in several trucks, and the impact would have been very intense. So that's pretty much what I have to say, but thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. And now Steve Locke, how do you pronounce that name?
It's Locke.
Locke. Okay, because it looked like an H on the end. Locke. Okay.
It's an H, just like Bach. Hi, everybody. Appreciate the opportunity to express our views. My wife, Susan, who just spoke, and I are here to voice our strong opposition to the proposed microwave relay tower now before your committee for installation on the Georgia Golding property just off El Camino, right smack dab in the heart of downtown Santa Margarita. We were not aware that this project was even being considered, as Santa Margarita Area Advisory Committee usually catches proposed projects that might disturb the local residents, and for whatever reason, this one sure disturbs us. We feel it's very outrageous. Verizon is attempting to locate a piece of equipment, microwave tower, right in the heart of the town. We're very fortunate Mr. Jay Corrales is a neighbor and perhaps the best qualified neighbor we could possibly have in this situation, as he came to our door a few days ago with a petition for us to sign to stop this attempt at monetizing the Golding project on a permanent basis with tower rent from Verizon in perpetuity. It may be great for the Golding family to enjoy a new lifetime stream of income, but what about present-day property values of the owners of the residential properties? We're about 700 feet from the tower on F and Murphy. Are my wife and I going to be paid the fair market value that our property would enjoy today if this machine is installed and then people run from any residence within a mile of this facility should we decide to sell our homestead property that we've been at for 32 years? Who are they to do this to us? Who okayed the idea behind placing this tower in our village that doesn't even have a stoplight? Mr. Corrales has researched and supported quite a document arguing against this disaster being installed, and his CV, his curricula vitae from Naval Postgraduate School, Monterey, and Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and employment at Vandenberg Missile Air Force Base is unique to this discussion. He's an electrical engineer, highly qualified, very thorough in his review, which he'll be sharing in a few minutes. I challenge anybody in this room to produce as thorough and clearly written a case for why we should not be subjected to this tower project being located in the heart of the town. My wife underwent a cancerous lumpectomy 2 years ago, and we know that living near a facility like this can have extremely negative results for her continued good health. How dare you take money for this installation and threaten my family's health? Read the document Mr. Corrales has produced that addresses these very real concerns, and then answer me why there is no EIR for this project. If there ever was a need for one, this would be it, as this is a very serious matter. Why does Verizon not have to produce valid arguments that would prove the relative safety of the project? Who's going to be responsible if ours or other families have health and safety issues? Will you pay our hospital bills? Will you give me today's top dollar price for my lost property value? Please heed the call of the local people who have all signed the Corrales petition and find a more suitable location on a hill outside of town where fewer people should be adversely impacted and more coverage could be achieved for Tassajara as well as the town of Santa Margarita. And basically, in layman's terms, I'm not an educated electrical engineer like Mr. Corrales, but
Could you finish up? Your time's up.
Okay, well, I never would want or wish anybody to live within a mile of any of these kind of facilities. Thank you.
Mr. Corrales? Corrales?
Yes, my name is Jay Corrales. I was married to Diana Irillo right across the hall here in Slo County. And I'm a resident and property owner within 300 feet of the proposed wireless RF radiation standard. I wish to thank the commission for the opportunity to speak. I wish to state that I took a personal leave of absence from my work duties to attend this meeting and as such have impacted my deadline schedule set for me at work, and I will be required to provide a reason for the delay in production to my superiors. I wish to state that I hold a master's in electrical engineering and have shown the RF engineering results spurious in conflict of interest, misleading, and most importantly, unverified by an independent referee. I have shown that the danger to the public is above 120% of the safety limit exposure to RF radiation set by the FCC. I ask for a full unbiased environmental impact report and RF analysis with the population survey. I respectfully request that the application be denied on the basis of safety of the citizens and residents of my family, my pets, and myself, and we will be subjected to constant exposure of carcinogenic level 2B RF microwaves. There are at least 10 young children living near Margarita Avenue and more in the vicinity of 8th Street. And based on peer-reviewed studies, 1 in 3 will develop leukemia. Adult cancer rates will increase and place elderly residents adjacent to the RF radiating at grave risk. I respectfully ask, how will Georgia Golding and Ben Haxtey be held accountable after they install and walk away from the harming radiating transmitters while people in residence fall ill? There are alternative locations for Verizon that will protect the population and are outside of town and co-located with other transmitters, and I respectfully request that Mr. Ben Haxby consider these. If the plan will go forward, property values will plummet and potential buyers will walk away after learning about the proximity of the RF radiation. And for me, I have lost my entire investment because I have spent the past 10 years on home improvement, building and making a home for myself and my family, cherishing memories and living a dream and living in Santa Margarita. This is not a question of property rights for property rights because the applicant will for decades broadcast harmful microwave radiation. We have presented petitions and many citizens have signed in opposition, and I respectfully request the commission deny the application on their behalf. There was a statement by Kate, for example, that essentially, I'm the closest resident. That's not true. Building, I think it was 6, is within 40 feet. I also called a question the infeasibility of installing the wireless towers in other locations. And if my wife would have been able to attend and actually speak for herself if the time had been more reasonably closer to the afternoon. And for these reasons, I thank the commission for my comments. Thank you.
I have a question for the speaker, please. So your position is that Verizon Engineering has basically made a mistake in the calculations. Is that true?
Mr. Commissioner Brown, may I say, respectfully say, that the Verizon RF report contains many opaque details which are not listed. They have not peer-reviewed their program that they have stated they have used. Other commercially available software, for example, CST Microwave Studio, has done a much better job using geographical terrain, shown the RF reflection. Those formulas have been well developed in microwave text, specifically the geometric series, which can account for infinite reflections and its summation on RF radiation. They have not metered the current RF radiation exposure, and it is currently today shown and known to be 100 million times more powerful today than it was during the time of our grandparents. And there are many other flaws with their analysis.
Okay. I just wanted to make the distinction between you're not questioning the FCC validity itself, because that's basically what we have to go by, nothing else. I think what you're saying is that it may not meet that standard for whatever reason, but we have no choice in terms of what our standards are.
Mr. Commissioner Brown, I respectfully would like to comment that the FCC rules are old and should be updated and have been kept in place for a long time, and there are the rise of biology building engineers, which are showing that standards should be changed, and that at lower micro radiation frequencies, people are coming down with illnesses such as headaches. They're unable to speak, and many other ailments.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next speaker is Mark O'Brien.
Good morning. Just had a few things to say real quick. I've been a resident there for quite some time. I live about 250 feet away from this site, and it's going to be directly across from my house. I've spoken to the residents around us. There's a lot of young people moving into our town now with their children and whatnot. We had a petition that went around, and for the little time that we had to do this petition, almost everybody we've talked to in our denial of this thing, mainly because of the radiation that will come off of that, which is concerning. The neighbors were concerned, and I did spoke to a couple of them. They said they'll move if that goes up, you know, and they just moved here. So, you know, between the radiation, it might come off of that, you know, it might be just a little bit, but people have their cell phones, so that's added to that. They have all their, the more you have, you know, the bigger it gets, and then the more sick you're going to get. It's just a matter of time, okay? Enough's enough with the radiation. And as far as Margarita's concerned for cell phone service, we have great cell phone service there. I have an old phone, and Verizon, and the thing works great. And GPS, fine. It's the people who live on the outer rural area. They have to come into town to use their cell phones because they don't have it out there. But if they relocate that, maybe out in that area where they could get reception there, it'll benefit them, you know, as well. And the radiation would be further out, you know. I'm not sure on how far it goes, you know. But enough's enough to for our town, it just, and for our young children there, we really don't need it. And I know the, and for a real quick thing, with those trees, they're taking down one tree, which is fine, but there's other trees around. If you notice, there's smaller trees. They're going to grow. So are they going to cut those down when they get bigger, you know? And so you got to look at that aspect too, you know. But if they could just maybe move it or look at it closely and have concern about the children that are moving into our town, and that would, you know, be respectfully, you know, looked at. You know, we don't, and we're not opposed of everything. We just want it to be looked at for health reasons, you know. Okay? So that's all I got to say. There's a lot more to say, but, you know.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
I have one question for staff. One of the speakers mentioned that there was a house next door 40 feet away that was a residence. Could you address that?
So staff can certainly respond to that. Let's go back to our presentation. Okay, so this shows the aerial of the lease area. Essentially, to the east of this property, you see the white roof of an existing structure. This is within the commercial retail land use category as well. Staff did look into the permit history on this particular structure, and the permit history is quite dated. This structure has been in place for quite a long time, and staff was not necessarily able to verify the present occupancy of this, but it is a structure that has been constructed within commercial retail land use category. And we do have a street view as well that we might still have up. No.
Mr. Chair, that is something when Verizon's technical folks are here, that would be something to address.
Okay.
Their report and how and what, whether it considered that structure as a residence, and the emissions that it would be exposed to.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
It was Mr. Bobian's grandparents lived there, and at one time there was a barbershop there. When the grandparents passed away, Bob Bobian moved there. My husband worked with him. Then he passed away, and his wife and children have lived there. Peggy, as far as I know, is still there, and I believe one of her daughters has moved back to help care for her. She's probably in her middle 70s like I am, and that's, you know, basically all that they have. So.
Okay. Well, thank you. We'll look into that.
Okay.
Does any of the Planning Commission have any comments?
I have a question of staff. Can you speak to the noticing process for this project and projects like it?
Sure. So projects like this and this particular project are noticed to all residents, property owners within 300 feet of the furthest extent of the parcel. So essentially, imagine a polygon 300-foot radius from all edges of this parcel.
And I think that's to property owners, not to residents. That's in the coastal zone. So.
Thank you.
Mr. Warren?
If there's no further discussion from the commission, I'd like to move continuance of this project to a date certain.
Mr. Chair, just if there's any specific information that the commission would like us to return with at the continuance, that would be helpful so that we could make sure that the applicant or staff is prepared and can present it.
Certainly the RF conditions.
And before, I'd like our attorney to address those RF and what our responsibility is.
This is Ben Dorr with County Council's office. And as staff indicated in their presentation, the county is really limited in terms of its ability to deny a project based on health concerns related to radio frequency. To the extent that this wireless facility complies with the standards established by the FCC, we really can't, the county doesn't have the authority to deny to deny a project.
Thank you.
I think that the issue might be that the speaker said there was some miscalculation, and I think that's really the kind of at the crux of the matter, and also whether or not some of those adjoining structures have been accounted for in those calculations.
We'll make sure to address that when we come back.
If we continue to a date certain, what's the date?
Commissioner Staff has that information. It looks like the next available meeting is September 28th, or we also have room on your following meeting, which is October 12th.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. Something I'd like to see, if possible, to bring back next time. I'd like to know more about the ability or inability to upgrade the Tassajara site. I understand the conflict with co-locating, but if it's just outdated equipment, then maybe there's an opportunity there.
Sure.
Is there a preference for considering the items on the agenda for the September or October date?
I was wondering if we wanted to ask the applicant how much time they needed. Is the September 28th enough time, or did you need to push to October?
No, the 28th would be great. That's plenty of time. We only needed probably a week. Hemet and Edison, the engineering firm, they've already confirmed that they will attend the next one so they can answer any questions from the public as well as from you guys. We do know, as council did state, there are certain parameters, but that doesn't mean that we don't want the community to understand how everything works and where we met that and, you know, what degree, you know, how high up it's going to be. As far as I knew there would be questions regarding locating in certain areas, and that's why the main person I really wanted to hear was the RF engineer who engineered where this needed to go, and he can speak very clearly to all that, and so we would appreciate that. Thank you.
So September 28th?
Okay, so we have a motion by Mr. Brown to continue until September 28th.
Yes.
Second.
And we have a motion. Call the roll, please. Would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Moltari?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Harrison?
Yes. So this item is continued until September 28th. Okay, would you like to introduce the next item of business, which is a another Verizon Wireless cell tower?
Item number six is a request by Kayla Cervantes and AT&T Mobile.
Okay, it's AT&T.
Mobility for a conditional use permit.
Turn to the wrong page.
County file number DRC 2016-00049. Supervisorial District Number 5, Cody Shield, Project Manager.
Okay, good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the Commission. I'm Cody Shield, the Department of Planning and Building. We're here today to discuss the Kayla Cervantes and AT&T Mobility Conditional Use Permit, DRC 2016-00049. And so for the project description, it's an unmanned wireless communication facilities. This is for a new wireless broadband service within the California Valley Village Reserve area. This facility consists of 12 panel antennas, two microwave dishes, and associated equipment, all mounted within a 20-foot tall cylinder portion of a new 80-foot tall faux elevated water tank. The water tank would be located within a 25 by 35 foot lease area surrounded by an 8-foot tall wood panel fence. The lease area would contain a new 140 square foot equipment shelter and a new diesel standby backup emergency generator. So here we have the vicinity map. The project, proposed project, is located at 11490 Belmont Trail, approximately 1 mile east of Soda Lake Road, and approximately 2.75 miles south of the Carissa Highway, Highway 58. And the site is within the California Valley Village Reserve Area. Here we have a land use category map. It's in the residential suburban land use category. Here we have an aerial photo of the site. The closest resident to the proposed site is located on the subject property, right in this location, approximately 220 feet from the project site. And the next closest residence is located across Belmont Trail on a neighboring property and is approximately 240 feet away from the project site. So here we have the overall site plan. And here's focused in on the proposed lease area. In the green is the proposed water tank and, of course, the equipment shelter in the blue. Here we have the antenna layout and equipment plan. Here we have the north and east elevations of the proposed water tank. And then we have the west and south elevation. I apologize for the darkness of this. It's kind of like the eclipse that just happened. But this is a photo simulation from Belmont Trail facing east. And we have another photo simulation from the Belmont Trail on Coso Junction Road facing west. And here is the proposed coverage map. Since this is a new technology, broadband wireless technology, there is no existing coverage map. So this is the proposed coverage map trying to capture most of the California Valley Reserve area. The applicant did evaluate the feasibility of co-locating the nearest existing facility, which is currently in the building process, and that's located on the west side of Soda Lake Road, approximately 1.5 miles to the northwest. However, this alternative site was found infeasible because it was well outside the small search area for the proposed facility. So with that, staff recommends adopting the mitigated negative declaration in accordance with CEQA and approving the conditional use permit based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. And that concludes my comments, and I'm open for questions.
Staff have any questions? Does the applicant like to make a presentation?
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Jerry Ambrose. I'm here on behalf of AT&T. I don't have anything to add to staff's presentation. I'm just here to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions of AT&T?
I'd just like to ask the applicant if they would agree in the conditions that any future additions would be located within the tank structure, any future antennas.
Oh, instead of adding to the outside?
Rather than adding to the outside, to the
correct. Yeah, that's fine.
Towers.
Yeah, as that's the intent of the...
So we could add that as a condition.
Sure, sure.
Did you get that, staff?
Yeah, I did get that. We do have a co-location condition already in the conditions of approval for future carriers. And those future carriers will need to go through a use permit process as well to fine-line the details.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have any requests for public comment, but I'll open it. If there's anyone here that would like to address this item, there's no, you need to, if you want to address it, you need to put in a speaker slip. I have no speaker slips, therefore I'll close public comment, bring it back to the board for discussion. Any discussion on this item?
I have a question of staff regarding the Kit Fox habitat mitigation. I assume that paying the in-lieu fee is the preferred method for most applicants, and I'm curious what the success of that program is. if there's been any recent habitat conservation or what the history of that would be.
Commissioner Hawkins, Steve McMaster's County Planning. The in-lieu fee goes to, and it's a rather complicated program, but ultimately the California Department of Fish and Wildlife is the one that uses those fees. I do know that in the past they have used them for purchasing land for habitat. I don't know what the most recent purchase is. Obviously, the fees accrue until they can either be pooled with other funds or leveraged in to make the purchase. So it's not something that the county really is really apprised of exactly how they are distributed. I do know that they are used that for that because of a program we're developing where they essentially have said, well, we could use those fees could be used as kind of matching funds for that program. So I do know they're out there and that they're used. Also, a lot of the folks take, they use the Palo Prieto Mitigation Bank because oftentimes is the most efficient way for those small areas of habitat loss. They can buy just the number of credits that they need. So it's that seems to be the most common, but the in-lieu fee program does work.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Do we have a motion on this item?
Yes. I'd like to move staff's recommendation to adopt the mitigated NIG DEC ED16-129 in accordance with the applicable provisions of the California Environmental Quality Act, Public Resources, Section 2100, and approved conditional use permit DRC 20160049498 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions in Exhibit B.
Do we have a second?
I have a question on the motion. Okay. Did we, were we changing the conditions about the co-locating? It's in there? Okay.
If staff would recommend doing that, although I think there was an explanation that that's part of our normal practice. So
yeah,
whatever staff would prefer.
Yeah, condition number 45 is the one that exists that we're recommending currently that has a co-location provision that the applicant agrees to allow other carriers to co-locate at the site if technically feasible, subject to land use permit approval. If the commission wants additional language of with any facilities located within the tank.
Within the tank, sure. Why not?
We would look at that at the land use permit stage as well, but it's up to the commission if they wish to add more clarifying language.
I just wanted a clarification based on Commissioner Brown's question.
Thank you. I'm fine with your standard condition.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Would you call a roll, please, Madam Secretary?
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Moultari?
Yes.
Commissioner Harrison?
Yes. Our next item of business is a request by Aaron B. Morassi and AT&T Mobile for a conditional use permit, DC. Would you like to introduce that project?
Item number 7 is a request by Aaron B. Morrissey and AT&T Mobility for a conditional use permit, county file number DRC 2016-00073, Supervisorial District Number 4, Cody Scheel, Project Manager.
Hello again, Cody Scheel, Department of Planning and Building. Okay, so we're here again to discuss the Morrissey and AT&T project. Again, it's another unmanned wireless communication facility for the same wireless broadband service, this time within an unserved area of the sub-area of the South County. This facility would consist of 7 8-foot-tall panel antennas, 24 remote radio units, 2 6-foot-diameter microwave dishes, and 5 surge suppression units, all installed on a new 65-foot-tall faux eucalyptus tree, or also referred to as a mono-eucalyptus. This mono-eucalyptus would be located within a 20-foot by 30-foot lease area surrounded by an 8-foot-tall wood panel fence. The lease area would contain a new 140-square-foot equipment shelter and a new standby emergency diesel generator. And here we have the vicinity map. We've got Arroyo Grande to the southwest, and it's located within this valley that kind of follows Lopez Drive up towards Lopez Lake. Here we have the land use category map. The subject site is in the agriculture land use category with a residential rural land use category just across Branch Mill Road to the east. And we have the aerial photo of the site. The lease area would be nested up against the riparian that follows the Arroyo Grande Creek. The closest residence to the site is approximately 270 feet to the south. I'll point that out. It's right here. And the next closest is a residence on site approximately 200 feet away from the proposed site. And here we have the overall site plan. The access road comes off Branch Mill Road and will zigzag to the site. There's going to be slight improvements on this existing ag road, mostly just scraping. Here we have an enlarged site plan, and the site is located with an existing disturbed equestrian corral. Here we have the lease area, and again in green would be the faux eucalyptus tree, and then the equipment shelter in blue. And here we have the antenna layout and equipment plan. And now some elevations. Here's the southeast elevation. I think the elevations are, these renderings are a little misleading. It's not necessarily chopped off flush like an ore paddle. And we'll see that in the simulations. So here we have the northeast elevation, northwest elevation, and the southwest elevation. Again, I apologize for the clarity of these photo simulations, but up top here is the existing and then proposed. And you can see the proposed mono eucalyptus is not necessarily chopped off flush like the paddling ore, but would resemble an existing eucalyptus tree. Here we are from Branch Mill Road facing west. And again, the proposed facility. And this is Branch Mill Road facing southwest. And the public views are only from Branch Mill Road. I didn't discover any other public views from any other public viewing area, so it'd be only as you're traveling along Branch Mill Road. And this is a proposed coverage map. Again, there's no existing coverage map due to the new technology, but you can see the swath is basically from the outer city limits of Arroyo Grande up through that valley towards Lopez Lake. Again, the applicant evaluated the feasibility of co-locating the nearest existing facility. This is located at 740 Manuel Way, approximately a half mile to the northeast. And this facility was found infeasible because, again, it's well outside the small search area for the proposed facility. There were some public comments received. One was issues with the conditions and the safety of Branch Mill Road and other local roads. One example of that is a lack of a stop sign at Chichetti and Branch Mill Road, and sharp corners and turns on the existing roads. This particular project doesn't necessarily have an impact on these local roads, a significant impact. It would only, and there would be a construction for a short period of time, but if the facility was to be built, there'd be one vehicle trip every roughly 6 to 8 weeks for routine maintenance. And in comparison with that, say a new residence was to be built, I don't believe that project would require public road improvements, but a residence has an average of approximately 10 vehicle trips per day, so it far exceeds what this facility would would be impacting the roads. There's also concern about the faux eucalyptus design not being compatible with the surrounding landscape. Staff and the applicant agent made site visits. We noticed that there were several other eucalyptus trees in the area, and we thought this would be the best fit. A faux pine tree would not necessarily really work. We usually use those on ridge lines or around other existing pine trees. There is the idea of a broadleaf tree, but again, there weren't too many of those in the area, and we thought this would be a good fit for the background vegetation and the other eucalyptus trees in the area. So with that, again, staff recommends adopting the mitigated negative declaration in accordance with CEQA and approving the conditional use permit based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. And I am open for questions.
What are the native trees around there?
I noticed there's oak trees, definitely some oak trees, and willow trees, and some other riparian vegetation that I'm not too familiar with following the creek there. But mostly oak trees are probably the most predominant in the area.
Have you got any questions from the board? Comments? Okay. Does the applicant have any comments?
No.
Okay.
Here for questions.
Okay, we have one request to speak, so I'll open public comment. And Michael Pop, I'm not sure how to pronounce your last name.
Paney.
Okay. Oh, P-A-N-K-E.
P-A-N-K-E.
Okay, I thought it was a P-A-W. It's P-A-N. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for taking my comment. I don't have a prepared speech. But my concern is not necessarily with cancer or radiation or anything like that. It's the location of that facility being about approximately the same distance to my house it is theirs. Property value is the main thing. Location. Noise, if this thing has a transformer or something that's going to hum, it's going to buzz. It's very quiet where we live. I'm only 200 feet away from it, as this gentleman said. Again, property value. If it could be more centrally located on their property, it's really not in view of their house because they've got it tucked into the trees, but it's the first thing you look at as you go down my driveway. First thing you look at as you drive out of my driveway. It's viewed from across my property in all directions. Those are my concerns. Noise, location. I'm not totally against the project. If it was more centrally located on their property, their access road, if you have, I don't know if you have the picture of that that we could look at. My property line is actually, there was a lot line adjustment done when we purchased this property. The fence was never adjusted to match that. So the property line is approximately 10 foot further over than where they've got it drawn right now. So their access road would be going across my property. An accurate survey, I would think, would be appropriate.
Can I ask, where is your property?
It is the...
Right there.
Right there. Yes, that's my house, and my barn is the other square right there. Those are my concerns.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
For staff, does the fact that that may be on his property rather than the property of the applicant create a major problem?
Well, yeah. None of the development should be on the neighboring property. And through the building permit process, our plan checkers we'll make sure that it's correctly surveyed and all disturbance and development is on the subject applicant property.
So if need be, that road will be moved over 10 feet?
Yes. Perhaps this drawing or rendering is maybe not exactly in scale, and maybe appears to be over that line, but no, that's not allowed. We wouldn't allow development for this project to encroach on another person's property.
Is that road presently there?
Most of it is there. We didn't get a chance to walk this western portion of the property, but yes, this leg here is definitely there. And then this is all really just a denuded equestrian facility, and that's why they'll probably just need to scrape it to flatten it out. No trees will be removed. It's just to get this construction equipment back there.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Brown?
Could the lease area be moved to the northeast, I guess, by, I don't know, some number of feet, just moving it along that line?
That's probably something that would be best directed at the applicant, and have AT&T respond.
Would you like to come and answer a few questions?
Sure. Good morning again, Jerry Ambrose with AT&T. In regards to moving it, I assume you're talking about moving it north or northeast?
Yeah.
A little bit. I guess a small... The property owner wants us in that corner, so we are off that corner by about 75 feet already. She prefers us, again, at the back, basically at the back of her corrals. So I'm moving it 10 feet, you know, probably northeast wouldn't make a difference. But if we're talking 20 feet, 30, 50 feet, then that's you wind up getting too close to some of the tall trees on the property for interference. That's another item we have to look at. So I'm not sure if that answers your question, but it can't be anything substantial to still
right.
operate
and I
understand. Work correctly.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Mr. Mulvaney.
Thank you. Well, I can understand why the property owners wouldn't want to have it moved, but it's kind of in the face of the neighbors. Would there be an opportunity, I guess this is really a question for staff, for some kind of landscaping treatment to block it a little better from the driveway level?
Well, we could possibly add a condition to install landscaping around the proposed wood panel fence, but
I would think more closer to the property line.
Oh, between the road and the property line, yeah. Perhaps. So. Sure, we could probably add a condition that has them install landscaping along the road, the proposed road, and in front of the facility. Up against the property line.
It might soften the view from the neighbor's house.
Commissioner Moltari, would the intent be to be trees that would grow up and help soften the view of the facility without essentially interfering? We don't want them growing so tall that they actually interfere with the...
I doubt that you'd be able to do that, but...
Right. I mean, it would take a while probably for most trees to right. achieve the height where it would...
What I would suggest is a mix of species, some that go taller and slower growing, and some that are bigger and have an immediate impact of softening the view.
In that location, that close to the creek, I'm sure cottonwoods or something like that would be fairly quickly growing and are probably present in the creek as well. So there, that we could come up with a landscape
mix. I would leave the details of a landscaping mix to you if that were amenable to the other commissioners. I'm a little concerned in this case that given the location of the neighbor's house, that this, you know, that the location was more considerate of the property owners that and seemed to be less considerate of the impact on the neighbors. I think once the thing is built, people living there, you get used to things like this, but I think it could affect the value in terms of resale when you have new eyes and you see these things. So just a comment.
I have a question for the applicant.
Go ahead.
Could you speak to the noise generation of the equipment? I understand in the negative declaration it talks about air conditioning units to cool the equipment and the backup generator. How many air conditioning units are typically included? And
there are two air conditioning units. on the small building, and there's one generator. The generator is tested once every 2 weeks for about 20 minutes. And staff, there's a condition that requires that that happen, I think, between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. during a weekday. And then, of course, the generator would be on if there's a major emergency, because there are battery units within the facility.
Thank you.
For initial backup.
Under normal circumstances, there's no noise emissions?
From the generator, no.
From the facility at all, is there noise that...
The air conditioning units would go on if it gets extremely hot. That's the best way to explain it.
What do you consider extremely hot?
Well, it gets pretty warm out there. It's Wasna Valley. So those would likely go on certain times of the year, you know, July, August, I would assume. But we're 75 feet from the property line, so we would definitely meet any kind of noise ordinance or noise restriction. It drops off dramatically within about 15 feet.
Could staff put up a photo of the area simulation, actual photo, rather than looking at the drawings, because it's hard to tell from the drawings what vegetation exists, and those pictures are not very helpful.
The Google Earth shots, if you have that available, but it shows all of the trees along the creek.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it shows the density of trees that you'll see. Pretty readily.
Which is that? Here we go.
If you looked at a top-down view of Google Earth, you could definitely see the density of trees along the creek, and we're right up against the creek, which we felt was a better land use solution than being at the front of the property. We're about 1,000 feet off of Branch Mill Road.
Right up
down against that.
That's good. So can you reorient? Us.
So this is Branch Mill Road here. This is the subject property. This is the neighbor's property with the kind of U-shaped house. And I believe the site is right about there.
Yeah, down in that little pocket there, yeah.
Yeah. So
that's about 75 feet from the south, I guess, where that property line is right there.
And if you want, I can do the street view so you can get an
so
idea.
So that road that's running up there from Branch Mill to the neighbor's house, is that on the property line?
I think that's the neighbor's road.
Yeah, it is the neighbor's road.
It appears to be close to the property line. I think their access is proposing to come...
Well, I think I can
see the inside, the other side of the fence, correct.
Mm-hmm. And then
it's a corral right
then
now.
Essentially through the corrals.
Okay.
Could you point to where the... tower would be right now with your cursor right there.
Is that, I'm looking, is that about right, Cody?
Yeah, it's just nestled up in that.
Right up against the
right
trees.
Okay,
going kind of north of that, I mean, I don't see any difference between that spot, yeah, right, or maybe lower. It's all open. It's just as open north of there as it is where you're going to put it.
Yeah, but I think the problem with that is that's a horse ranch and they train horses.
Well, the other thing I think mentioned by the applicant is, and AT&T would have to respond to this, but if in looking at it from the road, it does appear that there's some taller trees in the back that would start interfering. So
to the north,
there's a limit there without being an engineer, because I think it would be located about right in this area.
Mm-hmm. So if you go to the right of your cursor, I mean, I don't want to redesign this, but I mean, I don't see any difference between where you're going to put it and maybe 100 feet to the right. And there's high trees there too. The applicant said 10 feet.
I've been there several times, but I don't have information with me that shows exactly what the
trees. I don't see it.
Part of our process was finding a location that works technically, is out of the sight of the tall trees, and also works for the property owner, and works for the county planning. And sort of trying to balance all of those. That's
I understand,
how we came up
but
with
it seems like there is an opportunity to get it further away from the property line. That's all I'm saying.
Again, we can likely move it. It's just not substantial. And again, 100 feet, I mean, I don't see that working based on my knowledge of the property and being there. We could work on it if that's the direction of the commission or the county. And the landscaping along the property line is fine. Obviously, any kind of road that we create would be on the inside of the landscaping.
Go ahead, Mr. Moultrie.
Well, it seems like there may be two modifications to the conditions. One would be to move the site. What direction is that? To the northeast, without disturbing the existing vegetation, and still technically feasible, and to require a 10-foot-wide, 5-foot-wide. Staff, you have a help. We could leave it open that there would be a landscaping plan that along the southeast property line.
We are working on conditions for both of those.
Okay.
We're working on language. We can, if you give us a few minutes, we can work on that or potentially take your break.
Take a break.
A little early, and we will have the suggested language when you return.
Okay.
Is that okay with you guys? Okay, then at this time we're going to take a 15-minute break. Come back here at 10:31. Meeting back to order, and let's continue with staff's additions and changes.
Okay, so we added some conditions and modified a couple of conditions, and we'll go through those right now. Existing condition number 2, site development. So I'll read that to you. At the time of application for construction permits, plans submitted shall show all development consistent with a revised site plan, floor plan, and architectural elevations. The revised site plan shall reflect relocation of the tower to the northeast to the extent technically feasible without the removal of native or mature vegetation. And so now we added a condition. This is a new condition number 9. Prior to issuance of a construction permit, the applicant shall submit a landscape screening plan along the southeast property line to include a mixture of trees and shrubs in order to provide screening of the proposed facility from the neighboring residence and access road. Okay, and then what is now condition number 22, we've added landscaping in accordance with the approved landscaping plan shall be installed or bonded for before final building inspection or establishment of the use. If bonded for, landscaping shall be installed within 60 days after final building inspection. If installed or bonded for, the landscaping shall thereafter be maintained in a viable condition in perpetuity. If landscaping is for screening, such landscape must be maintained to provide the required or better screening in perpetuity. And that's the conditions that we added.
What about the concern that the road access road was on the adjacent property?
Mr. Chair, I don't think we have to be worried about it because that's something that this permit wouldn't authorize the access road to be on the neighboring property, and that's something that would be verified at the construction permit
okay.
stage.
That's fine. Does the board have any other questions, statements, comments?
No, I think that's okay. Just in keeping in mind that when you look at mature vegetation, we're talking really about trees, and that if it's a non-native, that it can be trimmed and shouldn't really be seen as necessarily as an obstacle. Okay. So with the revised conditions, then I would move approval based on the findings and subject to the conditions in the staff report for case number DRC 20160073. And that includes approval of the mitigated negative effect.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Moultrie?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Harrison?
Yes. Would you introduce the next item of business, please?
Hearing item number 8 is a request by AT&T Mobility for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2016-00050. Supervisorial District Number 3, Project Manager Brandy Cummings.
Good morning, Brandy Cummings, County Planning and Building staff. I too will be presenting a request for a conditional use permit for a wireless communications facility. Similar to the previous project, this wireless communications facility would be for broadband internet as opposed to 4G cellular service. The project would consist of a 70-foot-tall mono eucalyptus with 12 8-foot-tall panel antennas, 2 6-foot-tall dish antennas, 24 remote radio units, and 5 surge suppression systems. Those would all be mounted on the mono eucalyptus. The lease area would include, in addition to the mono eucalyptus, 5 equipment cabinets and a backup generator. The lease area would be secured by an 8-foot-tall wooden fence. That lease area is 400 square feet in size. It's a 20 by 20 foot area on a 8.6 acre parcel. And the project also would include trimming of some nearby eucalyptus trees. The project is located in the San Luis Bay South sub area of the South County Planning Area. It's approximately 2 miles north of the Arroyo Grande city limits and approximately 3 miles east of the city of Pismo Beach. It's in the Corbett Canyon, Deer Canyon area. The project is zoned residential rural and is surrounded by residential rural land. The aerial of the site, as you can see, it's heavily wooded. The site would be down here towards the middle. And there are 2 existing residences on property. So this is a site plan of that aerial. You can see down towards the bottom, the green is the actual lease area that the facility would be located in. Just a zoom up of the lease area. Here you can see to the north of the proposed lease area, 2 of the eucalyptus trees that will be trimmed down to 50 foot tall. They're currently 74 and 83 feet tall, and those would be trimmed to reduce interference of the proposed project. And then this is the actual lease area, the 20 by 20 foot lease area. The mono eucalyptus being the circle in the center. We have those 5 equipment cabinets I was talking about, the backup generator, and then this would be an 8-foot-tall wooden fence with secure gating. This is what the lease area would look like, view looking north on the property.
Our ordinance does allow for communications facilities, and we do have standards relating to those. Because this is a new facility and is not co-locating on an existing structure, it's the reason we are here for a conditional use permit. In the future, if another provider were to come co-locate on this facility, a minor use permit would be required. Standards also require that the applicant submit a radio frequency analysis. This applicant did, and the radio frequency analysis prepared by EBI Consulting found that the exposure would be 3.3% of the FCC public exposure limit. And I'm not going to talk about the Federal Telecommunications Act. We've talked about that a couple times already. As I mentioned, co-location is one of the standards in our communications ordinance. Two parts to that. One, that new structures allow other carriers to co-locate if technically feasible in the future. And also that the applicant look at co-locating on existing sites. The applicant did look at co-locating on existing sites, and I have a slide I'll touch on that later. But I will mention this is, again, broadband service, and it's directed at a specific area. There's no existing coverage for that, so that's part of what went into picking this particular location. The other development standards in the communications ordinance talk about preferred placing, obviously co-locating as preferred over to new facilities. But if new facilities are required, screening to blend in with the surrounding landscape is a requirement. And then unused facilities have to be dismantled within 12 months. So I did mention that the applicant conducted an alternatives analysis, a couple other sites in the area. Again, this broadband service is targeting this particular neighborhood. That's why the alternatives were all nearby of the chosen site. And the alternatives were not selected based on a variety of reasons, a couple being slope or increased public visibility as compared to the proposed site. So the coverage map, as was mentioned before, this is a new technology, so we do not have an existing coverage map, but this is what the area would look like for broadband service if this project is constructed. And I didn't include elevations in my PowerPoint, but I can throw them up if you would like to look at them. I feel like the photo sims better represent what the view would look like from the public areas. So it is kind of hard to see here. This is the new Mono eucalyptus, and you can see a couple of the trees have been trimmed when you compare it to the existing view. You really have to look at it, though. And then this is the view, existing east view. Again, that is the proposed Mono eucalyptus and some tree trimming occurring here. And then the northeast view. Again, the eucalyptus and some tree trimming in this area. Staff has reviewed the project and prepared a mitigated negative declaration pursuant to CEQA, and staff is recommending that your commission adopt that mitigated negative declaration and approve the projects based on the findings and conditions in your staff report. And I'm available for questions if you have any.
Is there any questions from the board?
I have a question. How many feet away from other residences is the cell site?
The nearest residence is to the east, and it's about 550 feet. Go back to that. Oops. It would be this residence.
What about the house that looks like it's in the corner down in the bottom right, that one?
Correct. So those are both on-site, so I was referring to the nearest off-site residence.
Okay. How far is it to those houses?
Probably about 80 to 100 feet, if I had to guess. I don't have an exact number.
Anything else? Does the applicant have anything he would like to say?
I'm here for questions.
Okay. We don't have any requests for public comments, so... No one wants to talk about it? Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve staff's recommendation. Adopt the mitigated neg deck in accordance with the applicable provisions of the California Environmental Quality Act, Public Resources Code Section 2100, and approve conditional use permit DRC 2016-00050 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and conditions in Exhibit B.
Second.
So I have a motion and a second. Would you call a roll, please?
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Moultrie?
Yes.
Commissioner Harrison?
Yes. So I need a motion to accept the correspondence and the staff reports, right?
Yes. I'd move acceptance of the reports and then let's see it, exhibits into the record.
Second.
That's good enough.
I think that the intent's clear.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll move to adjourn.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Well, meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.